comment on Old Testament Ten Commandments and stuff that everybody knew in his time. We're picking that up in Matthew 5 at verse 38 and going through verse 48. Once again, using Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere?
No.
No.
Jail.
Oh. Okay. We agree with Jesus.
Sorry.
Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more of that tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. Boy, he does a great job of bringing translation of this stuff up to modern times, doesn't he?
Sure does.
You're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with your energies of prayer, for you're working out your true selves, your God-created selves. That's what God does. God gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, you expect a bonus. Anyone can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Either side. This side's better, Kofi, because the microphone's over here. Here's the question of the day. How was school this week?
You sign as member because that Kofi's happened
answer
actually
is very
on Thursday.
Honest.
As of Thursday, you are a member.
Oh, okay, let me ask this. How was kindergarten this week? Good. Is kindergarten good? Lots of new friends? Yeah. Learning stuff? There's a book that says everything you need to know for all your life you'll learn in kindergarten. But that doesn't mean you can't go to first grade after that. Okay? But school, when you get older, you can have a tough week, can't you? Do you have a, what happened this week that made it tough?
Bullied a lot.
What do you do when somebody bullies you in school?
They keep on doing it over and over.
That's what bullies do.
So then I have the secret note. You didn't find out yet.
You're getting a little revenge there, huh? Well, interestingly enough, the Bible passage I read from Jesus does tell us how to deal with that, but it's very difficult. You really need support and help. You need teachers and parents who are going to take care of that situation. And I'm going to say this in the sermon too, it may feel good to get revenge on some of those guys, but that won't get you anywhere either. That feeling of being strong goes away. Stay through the sermon and we'll try to go over the Jesus talk about how to get through this. It takes a lot of courage. So when bad things happen in school or in life, we need help from parents, from teachers, from other good kids, and from the Lord. So we're going to talk about that today. Let's pray. Lord, help us to learn a lot in school, help us to have good learning times, and help us to know how to respond to things that aren't so good, know where to look for help, and know how to get through it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Some of our favorite movies are revenge movies. If you see anything by Quentin Tarantino, you know, revenge. If you see anything with some of the most famous actors and actresses, revenge. There was even a series a while called Avenger, where somebody else got even for you with people who did something was wrong. And don't we all pretty much feel that way? Bad things happen to us, good people. What do we want to do? We want to get even. But I like the translation from Gene Peterson because he says, grow up. All vengeance does is build a cycle where you're going to be doing things over and over, and people are going to return to the same spot and do the same things to you. That sweet revenge it is. No, it doesn't last. It goes away and other things can happen to you. In these ancient texts, things were a little bit different. So it's hard to exactly get what was going on and transfer it to modern times. And sometimes Gene Peterson leaves out some of the details we're familiar with. You know, if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. I tried that once. It hurt. I was in college and we were out goofing around and somebody really didn't like what I did and took a swing at me. And I stood there, said, okay, try it again.
And they did.
But then he looked around, and I went to the Illinois Institute of Technology, and the ratio of men to women was 24 to 1. Most of the women happened to be around the quad at that time, and they were all coming to help me. Oh. And it dawned on me, wow, this is a good way to attract the co-eds. I'm sure that's not what Jesus had in mind. But he went away with no one, and I had a little comforting community to help me. You know, give you a Kleenex for the blood and stuff like that. In Jesus' time, it wasn't quite like it was in our time, because there were rules about hitting someone, even in Jesus' time. And this is a little bit of revenge with grow up. Because if someone slaps you in the face in Jesus' time and you turn the other cheek, then they have to come with a backhand, which is culturally inappropriate, or they have to come with a left hand, which is even more culturally inappropriate. So Jesus is saying, so turn your other cheek and see how brave they are. Believe it or not, they were more disciplined in that stuff than we are. So that really put the one who had struck you into a difficult position. Sort of, I'm going to slap you, so that means dual time. Jesus is all in this, grow up. You don't have to respond to violence with violence. There are always people around. Anytime you read the scripture, imagine a whole village of people milling around watching what's going on. None of this kind of privacy stuff that we have today. So all these interesting things, he said. If somebody asks you to go a mile, insists that you go a mile, go two. Oh, really? Why would I want to do that? Well, an extra mile, you get to talk to them longer. Get to know them. Get to talk with them. Convince them that you know a different way of life. The other reality in Jesus' time was the Roman soldiers had a very strict code of discipline. And one of the things that Roman soldiers could do was saying, this 65-pound back I have, pack I have to carry is too heavy. You carry it, oh oppressed one that we have conquered. And so they could require you to pick up their 65-pound pack and carry it for a mile. But they were not allowed to make you carry it any farther. So you can imagine some poor Roman soldier who's got somebody from Jerusalem to pick up their pack, and they've gone a mile now, and the Roman soldier's saying, okay, I'll take it from here, and you're saying, oh no, I'll carry it some more. I'll carry it a lot farther if you want. And the guy said, no, no, give it back to me now. Sergeant's looking. I'll get in trouble if you take it any farther. He says, that's okay. I'll stick up for you. And it just makes an interesting situation that we don't have in modern times. But when the audience was listening to Jesus on these things, they understood that it's not really revenge, but an opportunity to show that there's a way of life that is gracious in giving. And okay, soldier, I'll be glad to carry 2 miles. I know the rules. And I'll talk to your sergeant, your lieutenant, your captain, and say that I wanted to do this. You know, it only took a few hundred years for the Roman Empire to be converted to become Christian. Oh, you mean we've got to stick in there for a few hundred years to make this happen? Well, we've been trying for 20 centuries to make it happen. And we're making progress. But we still have more to do. All these interesting sayings that Jesus gives to us. And the one that Jean Peterson translated, grow up. He knows we get in trouble when we translate it, you must be perfect, even as God is perfect. That does disservice to everyone, because I know I am not perfect. I have a witness to that one. Not perfect. But perfect doesn't mean what we think it means. Of course, all those Bible words give us problems. There's only one place where the word perfect means what it did when the King James translators worked with it. And that's in Robert's Rules of Order. Somebody makes a motion at Presbytery or General Assembly, and a person who knows Robert's Rules of Order says, now we have the motion on the floor, and we'll move to perfecting the motion. Meaning, now we're going to take the amendments and all the complaints. And it's a process, trying to get the motion to grow up and become something we can all vote on and live with. The word that is in the Bible comes from the Greek word teleos, which is best translated, mature up, grow up. Put an ing. We should always be maturing, even as Jesus is the model of the completely mature one. And it's a lifelong process. Anybody tells you they're perfect? Tell them we have psychiatrists and medication for that. Because none of us are. But are we growing up? We hope so. Growing up and doing better. And boy, are we in a place where, if you read some of these articles, this from a blog of a pastor in Wisconsin. Jesus asks us to do something counterintuitively. Love the unlikely. Liberals love the conservative. Conservatives love the liberal. Really? What this material comes up in, we need probably, now that we've lived through the most divisive presidential campaign in modern American history, learning to love another again is a necessity if we're going to heal the nation. And that is so clearly true. How do we grow up? God help us, please, because we need that kind of help. The revenge thing is what you'd certainly like to get back at all the bullies of the world, whether they're elected to public office, or whether they're taking us to court, or whether we meet them in the schoolyard. And what fascinates me in secular media they're catching on to this revenge is not the way to go stuff. I was looking for, what do we do about bullying? And this article says, 4 reasons why forgiving a bully is best. Wow, you've read the Gospel of Matthew, haven't you? No mention of it in here. But they go to the reasons that are in there. Most people do find it difficult to forgive what's been done. But here's the 4 reasons. Number 1, forgiving someone allows you to move on. Don't forgive them. You're stuck in that space and that inner turmoil. And it might be hard, but forgiving is the Jesus thing to do. It's important to acknowledge that bullying has taken place. You don't not report it. You don't tell your parents. You don't not tell your teacher. You take all the actions. But forgiving lets you go on with your life. Boy, and that's really growing up when you can do that. Forgiveness is healthier than revenge. Always wanting revenge is going to lead you to a little bit of internal distress, if not ulcers, and worrying about if somebody who you've gotten revenge on is going to get revenge on you next, and where is this escalating cycle going to end? Stop it right now. Don't seek the revenge thing. Forgiveness gives you back your power. And when you have your power back, you can mature. You can grow up. You can be a leader and seek out friends and teachers and programs at school and in life that help you to mature, to grow up. I am so glad to see this kind of thing where you just Google it on the internet and it comes out with good stuff.
Yeah.
It's biblical stuff, although nobody who wrote this article admitted that's what Jesus said. All these things are part of how we need to mature. It can be painful. I will never forget taking those 2 punches at the Illinois Institute of Technology. But I learned something. I had the power after it was over. And what I did badly with that was sort of gloat over it. But it was a different kind of feeling. Hey, we grew up in Chicago. We've seen this kind of stuff all the time. But Chicago's no different than any other city or suburb or town or village. That stuff happens as we grow up. Revenge? Forget it. Return no person evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Or you wind up sort of like Captain Ahab in Moby Dick. Now, that's a classic example of literature which many of us had to read in high school. But I was playing basketball and baseball, so when I was given the reading assignments, I went and bought the classic comic book. Could do that in a short evening and get the idea of the story and hope I was asked a question that was in the comic book. I have to admit I was not too mature on those things back then. Because what else do you want to do when you're a kid in high school? You want to become a star at something. And you want to live out what you like. So Joyce will affirm that once I stepped across the line onto the basketball court, I was not a nice guy. Revenge, of course. How dare you follow my elbow with your nose? Well, what are you doing down there? But I matured, I think. We've gone on. Think of the classic example that we've all read in literature. A poor Captain Ahab spends his life trying to get even with a whale. Admittedly, he lost his leg, but Gregory Peck could come here and we could see that famous scene of him with a harpoon on the whale. To the last I grapple with thee. From hell's heart I stab at thee. For hate's sake I spit my last breath at thee. Citation from Herman Melville's Moby Dick. It's an American classic. The futility of revenge. Not only does he not get revenge, he loses his life and his crew's life and his ship. Want to know where revenge winds up? Read Moby Dick again. It doesn't get us anywhere. I thought I'd conclude with another great secular kind of example of this. I invited Johnny Cash. Are the TVs off or is it just black screen, Glenn?
No. They're off. They're off.
Did they go off?
They were on.
They were, yeah. They tend to go off for some reason. Yeah.
We'll see if the TV comes back in. Computer's on. There it goes. We'll get the other one on. This is one of my favorite Johnny Cash songs. And I've always wanted to dress up like the Reverend Mr. Black.
Yeah, where's your black?
That's right. And if I could sing it, I would.
We need your password.
Oh, it went off completely, so you need my password now, too.
It's telling.
This is a really secret
message.
We'll
all know.
Easy in the saddle, he was long and lean, and you'd have thought nothing but a streak of mean could make a man look so downright strong, but one look in his eye, and you'd know you were wrong. He was a mountain of a man, and I want you to know, he could preach hot hell or freezing snow. He carried a Bible in a canvas sack, and everybody called him the Reverend Mr. Black. He was poor as a beggar, but he rode like a king. Sometimes in the evening I could hear him sing. I got a wall,
I got a wall,
that lonesome valley,
lonesome valley.
I got a wall,
I got a wall,
by myself,
by myself.
Ain't nobody here,
nobody
can walk or pull me.
Can't walk me before.
I got a wall,
I got a wall,
by myself. I thought that this man in his black was a coward or had any yellow up his back. I gave that notion up the very day a lumberjack came in and it wasn't to pray. Now he kicked open that meeting house door, cussed everybody up and down the floor. And when things got quiet all over the place, he walked up and cussed in a preacher's face. Then he hit that preacher like the kick of a mule, and to my way of thinking, it took a pure fool to turn the other cheek to that lumberjack. But that's what he did, the Reverend Mr. Black. Stood like a rock, a man among men, and then he let that lumberjack hit him again. But then with a voice as kind as could be, he cut him down like a big old tree when he said, you got a wall, that lonesome valley. You got a wall
by yourself.
There ain't nobody here can walk it for you. You got a wall, it's by yourself. Well, it's been many years since we had to part, and I guess I've learned all his ways by heart. I can still hear his sermons ring down in the valley where he used to sing. You got a wall, that lonesome valley. You got a wall, walk it by yourself. There ain't nobody here can walk it for you. You got a wall, walk it by yourself. Yeah, yes, you got a wall, that lonesome valley.
That's one of my favorite songs. But it's a lesson. we do have to walk it by ourselves. We have to face each day wherever you are, schoolyard, business, streets, mall. We have to face it by ourselves. And as long as we know we have to do it by ourselves, we also know we don't do it alone.
That's right.
Because God is with us to grow up, to mature. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are with us to give us support and help to respond. And hopefully, we do grow up. Do you want to end the sermon, Kofi? Or just raising your hand for...
I'm just, Glenn watched this video
made. Oh, 30 years ago. Made a long time ago. Did you like it?
That was when the video was made.
Kind of weird. Well, let me tell you, Johnny Cash is kind of weird, to be sure. But the message of the song was good. And I've always thought maybe some Sunday I would get all dressed up in black and lip sync Johnny Cash doing that song. But in life, we can't just lip sync it. We have to live it. Live a life of forgiving people, loving enemies, doing things that help us to keep maturing, growing. It is so tough. But that's what Jesus asks us to do. Amen.
Amen.